Section of the Radio Biafra Live Broadcast. This is the AM edition for the 11th of October 2014. My name is Richard Mafor. We are reaching you from London. From wherever you are listening, welcome. It is time once again to rub minds together. www.radiobiafra.co remains our main website. You can also listen via other platforms such as www.biafratelevision.co, www.indigenouspeopleofbiafra.org, www.peopleofbiafra.org, www.ipob.org, www.biafratv.co, www.biafratelevision.co. You can also get this program on Shoutcast, and the most popular among Shoutcast family remains www.radioforest.net. If you go there, you'll be able to get Radio Biafra. We also are on TuneIn. TuneIn is, of course, the most responsible platform for the collection of all efficient radio stations across the globe, and we are glad Radio Biafra is among them. If you go to TuneIn, simply search for Radio Biafra. You can download the app on your device and search for Radio Biafra, and you will be live with us on this program.
Oh yes!
We are also on satellite. For those on MS5 satellite, turn your dish towards 17 degrees east. And for all others on that side and other satellite providers, simply search for Radio Biafra under the satellite radio category, and you'll be able to get Radio Biafra live broadcast. Still, we are unable to take calls on this program for some strategic reasons. We are unable to take calls on this program. Reminder that this remains the second phase of the struggle for the restoration of Biafra, and we remain ever resolute, irrespective of what people are saying, irrespective of all the lies and speculations that people are bandying about. We remain resolute. The second phase of the struggle for the restoration of Biafra is in earnest and in full swing. And it is also very important for you to understand that you are not privileged to all information. There are a lot of things going on the ground, and so it is every information you are entitled to is on the need to know basis. And so if you are not supposed to know anything, you are not going to be given that information. This is very important. And it is also very critical that we understand this and appreciate the nature of the terrain. The quest for the restoration of Biafra is a complex one. It is a convoluted route. We will navigate all nooks and crannies, and we are going to face all the challenges head on. But one thing is sure, we must emerge victorious.
Against us, only two quarters, and so, and what they have to say. Benazo. Indigenous people of Biafra, Chukwe, Biamazo, Nazwe. I can hear the Lord saying, do not be afraid of your enemies. The Boko Haram you see today, you shall see them no more. Hausa, Fulani, Jihadis, you shall see them no more. Says the Lord Almighty, I am with you.
And in the news headlines, we have it that TB Joshua is to appear in the court on Monday over collapsed buildings. The founder and the general overseer of the Synagogue Church of All Nations, Prophet TB Joshua, will appear in a court on Monday over the collapse of a six-story building in his church at Ikotun, Lagos State, western part of Bizu called Nigeria. And we are also reporting that according to the defense headquarters of the zoo called Nigeria, Boko Haram is losing grip. Deserters reveals how leadership vacuum, internal squabble, hunger, desertion by members made Adamawa military exploit possible. And Jonathan welcomes greater support for Nigeria's war against terrorism.
Indigenous people of Biafra, Chukwe, Biamazo, Nazwe. I can hear the Lord saying, do not be afraid of your enemies. The Boko Haram you see today, you shall see them no more. Hausa, Fulani, Jihadis, you shall see them no more.
An Igbo presidency, Okorocha knocks Ohanaeze over lack of interest. The Imo State Governor Chief Richards Okorocha has expressed shock at the lack of confidence among the Igbos in aspiring for the position of the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria in 2015. And scores feared killed while 12 injured in Kirikiri prison riot. On alleged sabotage, Army Colonel, 10 officers set Nigerian tankers ablaze, paved way for Boko Haram. And on alleged human rights violations, the federal government of the zoo called Nigeria blasts Amnesty International. We are losing war against Boko Haram, according to Jim Adun.
We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer.
We are soldiers. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer.
We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name.
And we are reporting also that there is riot in Krikri prison. Inmates protest over poor condition.
We shall conquer. We are fighting for our motherland. By the grace of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers fighting for our rights.
We shall conquer.
Come to Nadu, Wago and area here. We have one more or I to go no go. On your tabby Arabian, Nessia, we walk on no go with you. With you.
And the European Union rejects death sentences passed by the Nigerian military authorities on Nigerian soldiers.
We shall conquer, you know,
we are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Biafra. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer.
We are marching.
And Cameroon expresses surprise at news of purported release of hostages by Boko Haram terrorists. And with reference to the 2015 elections in the zoo called Nigeria, the pro-Jonathan officials have failed to convince Igbo leaders.
We are soldiers from the rising sun. In the name of Tukwa Biama, we shall conquer.
We are soldiers.
When we come, the glory to what they name of Tukwa Biama.
The founder and general overseer of the Synagogue Church of All Nations, Prophet T.B. Joshua, will appear in court on Monday over the collapse of a six-story building in his church at Ikoton, Lagos State, western part of the zoo called Nigeria. The building killed 115 people, 86 of them South Africans. Scores of others were also rescued. Following the incident, the Lagos State government set up a judicial panel to look into the cause of the collapse. The panel is scheduled to start sitting on Monday, 13 October, at the Lagos State High Court at Ikeja, Lagos. The correspondents, according to PM News, gathered that all the parties involved have been summoned to appear before the panel when it begins sitting. And indications abound that the Nigerian troops are getting upper hand against the Boko Haram sect following the continued noticeable frictions existing among members of the gang and lack of clear, respectable chain of command hitherto existing before the killing of its leader, Abubakar Shekau, a source told Sunday Sun, which authoritatively gathered that recent breakthroughs by the Nigerian troops. Is also informed by the demise of a prominent leader of the insurgents after the death of Abubakar Shekau at Katunga in Borno State. It is suggested that the weakening of the sect also results from power tussles amongst those who are jostling to lead the gang. The development, which the source said has led to internecine squabble even among the rank and file in the Boko Haram camp. It will be recalled that as a result of the friction which culminated in the fierce battle within their ranks and the death of over 30 insurgents in the process, secession palaver is also said to have informed the new development. In the circumstances, it would seem that things have begun to fall apart with the terror group. Of course, whatever the Nigerian government is saying, especially the Nigerian Defense Headquarters, must not be taken seriously, because on several occasions they have reported victory over Boko Haram, but at the end of the day it turns out to be a farce. And so every news coming from the Defense Headquarters of the so-called Nigeria, and especially with reference to Boko Haram, must be taken with a dint of salt.
My people of Biafran, I'm laughing at you. Are we not ashamed of washing blood in a foreign land just to make a living? Are we not tired of marrying our mother's pet just to have citizenship in a foreign land? Are we not tired of running from police and immigration, jumping condominiums, rusting in jail?
Ebeka Unusi, Biafra. Ebeka Unusi, Biafra. Gai mara po Biafra. Gawe boso kabiri. Agai mara po Biafra. Gawe boso kabiri.
And President Goodluck Jonathan of the so-called Nigeria has welcomed the greater support for the war against terrorism for Nigeria's neighbors. Speaking Friday in Abuja at an audience with Mr. Emmanuel Izoza, a special envoy of Gabonese President Ali Bongo Ondimba, Jonathan also applauded the renewed and heightened commitment of Niger, Chad, Benin Republic, and Cameroon to join forces with Nigeria to rid the West African sub-region of terrorism and violent extremism. While restating that terrorist attacks on one country must be seen as an affront to all civilized nations, the president called for an even stronger and more effective regional, continental, and global alliance against terrorism and its perpetrators. A statement by his special advisor on media and publicity, Dr. Ruben Abati, quoted the president as saying Boko Haram and similar terrorist groups kill people indiscriminately, hiding under religious beliefs that are not found in any of the holy books. They do not represent any civilized or rational people. Civilized and rational people of the world who are in the clear majority must therefore join forces to confront and defeat them. Jonathan thanked Ondimba for Gabon's pledge to support Nigeria's fight against insurgency and assured him of Nigeria's total commitment to prosecuting the war against terrorism to a successful conclusion.
We came direct from God. We are the Lord's chosen people. We the Biafran people.
And earlier, Mr. Ngonde, who is also Gabon's Minister of Foreign Affairs, said his country welcomed the decision to form a multinational force that will confront terrorism. He stated that Gabon shared Nigeria's position that Boko Haram's activities has no basis in religion and assured Jonathan of the support of his country and others in the Central African Republic and sub-African region in fighting terrorism. The Imo State Governor Chief Richard Sokoroja has expressed shock at the lack of confidence among the Igbos in aspiring for the position of the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria in 2015. Sokoroja bared his mind when he received the Enugu Zonal Director and Management Team of the Federal Republic Federal Radio Corporation of Nigeria, FRCN, in Government House of Warri. He expressed that he stressed that Nigeria as a nation belonged to all Nigerians and wondered why Ohanes and Igbo should champion the cause of discouraging the Igbo man from aspiring for the highest position in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He therefore called on the Igbos to embrace up and support any of their own aspiring for the presidency.
The last few with milk and honey, the Afro land over the
And the governor assured the Enugu Zonal Director of the support of government, but challenged the FRCN stations to pursue the goal of uplifting the people and uniting the nation by being objective in their reportage. He, however, regretted that FRCN had failed to give elaborate reports on the abandoned Imo axis of the Port Harcourt Owerri Road, which posed greater danger to motorists plying the road. Earlier, the Enugu Zonal Director, FRCN, Mr. Chigozie Obialo, said they were in Owerri to hold their third and fourth annual conference. He revealed the year's conference with the team, overcoming the challenges of election year through radio program, would provide a radio station within the zone with new ideas that will help serve the public better. Of course, Richard Sokoroja is reputed, of course, to be the head boy of the APC, the political arm of Boko Haram, and he is aspired to rule Imo State again. And we are also reporting that scores have been killed and 12 injured in Kirikiri prison riot. Pandemonium broke out at Kirikiri maximum prison in Lagos on Friday as a riot by inmates led to 12 inmates sustaining varying degrees of injuries, while unconfirmed eyewitnesses reports or several deaths. An eyewitness told newsmen that some inmates were shot by soldiers stationed at the prison, who moved in to quell the riot, which followed a protest against an alleged seizure of a fan belonging to an inmate by a prison official. Someone brought in a fan for an inmate referred to as the general overseer of the prison's Christian denomination, but the fan was seized by the officer in charge of the prisons, who also alleged ordered the inmate detained.
I can hear the Lord saying, do not be afraid of your enemies. The Boko Haram you see today, you shall see them no more.
There were shocking revelations at the weekend that an army colonel, some junior officers and soldiers who were taking part in the military offensive to reclaim communities taken over by the Boko Haram terrorists in Adamawa State have been arrested for sabotage. Top military sources said that the colonel, a Muslim who was commanding a team of three armored personnel carriers, APCs, with the capability to fire up to a range of 1.5 kilometers or more, had, instead of pursuing the terrorists, deliberately set the APCs on fire between Gulag and Madagali before running away with his team of soldiers into the bush. Saturday Vanguard, the news outfit reporting this, gathered that the army authorities were outraged over the development and ordered the arrest of both the commander, the junior officers, as well as the soldiers under his command. Narrating how the embarrassing incident occurred, a source who was privy to the development noted that until the latest development, the special forces of the Nigerian army who commenced the purge to rout Boko Haram terrorists from Baza, Michika, Gulag, and Madagali from Vintem had successfully dealt with and inflicted heavy casualties on the terrorists up to Gulag. It was said that between Gulag and Madagali, the colonel, who had long been prided with air surveillance reports, was again informed that Boko Haram terrorists were approaching his team in six Toyota Hilux pickup vans from the Madagali axis. Rather than blasting and taking out the terrorists in their pickup vans, he ordered his soldiers to jump out of the APCs and set the armored tanks on fire without realizing that he was being monitored. This was shocking because the terrorists were armed with weaponry which were grossly inferior to the firepower of the Nigerian army armored tanks. After accomplishing the sabotage act, the colonel and the junior officers and soldiers ran away into the bush, claiming that they were overpowered by a better armed group of Boko Haram terrorists. Military sources said that the action of the colonel and soldiers under his command had given vent to the disclosure by the top hierarchy of the military that there were so many 50 columnists in the military working against the country's determination to flush out Boko Haram terrorists in the land. And this confirms the position of Radio Biafra that the Nigerian army is divided along ethnic lines. The northerners in the Nigerian army are protecting Boko Haram. They are fighting for the protection of the northern Hausa Fulani oligarchy, the Arewa Republic. They are arguably fighting, or rather they are the standing army of the north. And so the people who are actually doing the work are the Biafrans who are in the Nigerian army at the moment. They are the people who are actually fighting Boko Haram, and the northerners are at every available opportunity seeking for a way of protecting their own, the Boko Haram terrorists.
So just stop your breath, in the name of the Kwabiyama, we shall conquer.
We are soldiers. In the name of Tupacama, we shall conquer. We are soldiers, soldiers of Kefra. In the name of Tupacama, we shall conquer.
also reporting that the use of allegations of human rights violations against Nigeria by the Amnesty International and the United States as reasons for denying the country access to purchase arms has been described as baseless and flimsy by the president, which has also accused Amnesty International of looking for cheap publicity and fundraising. The presidency also accused the U.S. and Amnesty International of maintaining double standards as it concerns the fight against insurgency in Nigeria. There has been a cold war between Nigeria and the United States on one hand and Nigeria and government of South Africa on the other hand over the frustration Nigeria suffers in her bid to purchase arms to fight terrorists who are threatening the corporate existence of the zoo called Nigeria, although the United States had earlier denied that it was blocking moves by Nigeria to purchase arms in the open market. The country's ambassador to Nigeria, Mr. James M. Wessel, had during an interaction with journalists in Yola, Adamawa on Thursday, admitted that his country was reluctant to support Nigeria in its bid, citing alleged human rights abuses by Nigerian soldiers in the anti-terrorism campaign. But in a swift reaction, a top security operative accused the American government of double standard and double dealing, describing its criticism and denying Nigeria the opportunity to purchase arms as a way of frustrating the country in the ongoing war against terror. What do they want us to do to stop the incessant terror attacks on our people when they are denying us access to arms and ammunition? Yet they claim they want us to stop the menace of terrorism. How, if I may ask, are we not aware of how they are fighting terrorism all over the world? Is the Amnesty International not seeing them? I don't want to believe that they are sincere in their support for the fight against terrorism in Nigeria. Speaking on the same issue, a top official of the presidency gave a copy of a protest letter dated August 7, 2014, addressed to the Amnesty International Secretariat in London by the Office of the National Security Advisor, written and signed by Major General Sakin Yakin Bello, retired, on behalf of the NSA. The letter copied to the Attorney General of the Federation and the Chief of Defense Staff was titled "Alleged Extrajudicial Executions and Mass Arbitrary Arrests by the Nigerian Military and Members of the Civil Defense Force," with a reference number NSA/A/221/C, dated 30 July 2014. The letter spared no word to condemn Amnesty International for betraying the Nigerian government on the issue in its desire for publicity and fundraising ahead of the justice and accountability that Amnesty claims to seek for victims.
Platform, we are calling all the indigenous people of Biafra living in diaspora to come back home. Let us defend and build our motherland, the land of the rising sun, and stop developing other people's land while our land has been taken by our enemies. For Biafra land is the kingdom of God on earth, and we must fight with the last drop of our blood to restore this great nation, the land of the rising sun. All hail Biafra! All hail indigenous people of Biafra! All hail the land of the rising sun!
We are also reporting that the European Union, EU, has rejected the death sentence handed to 12 Nigerian soldiers by the General Court Martial in Nigeria for alleged mutiny. The EU, in a statement issued yesterday on the occasion of the World Day Against the Death Penalty, condemned all death sentences, especially after mass trials, as was the case with the Nigerian soldiers. The union, headed by Secretary General Mr. Thabojon Jagland, argued that execution had stopped in that region of the world for close to two decades, according to the statement on the European and World Day Against Death Penalty. The European Union and the Council of Europe reaffirmed their strong and absolute opposition to capital punishment in all cases and under all circumstances, and their commitment to its worldwide abolition. We are deeply concerned about setbacks in some countries, such as recent mass trials leading to a vast number of death sentences. No execution has taken place in our member states in the last 17 years. The European Union and the Council of Europe welcome the fact that all member states of the European Union have now ratified both Protocol 6 and 13 to the European Convention on Human Rights, and urged all other European states that have not yet done so to sign and ratify these instruments, which aim at the abolition of the death penalty. And we are also reporting that the quest of those campaigning for Jonathan's victory at the 2015 presidential poll to achieve Ndibo's endorsement of the re-election bid of President Goodluck Jonathan in the next year's election suffered a setback following a stalemate that ended its meeting with Igbo leaders. However, both parties agreed to constitute a committee to be headed by the immediate past governor of Anambra State, Peter Obi, with members to be drawn from all Igbo groups in Lagos. Their mandate is to resolve whether Ndibo in Lagos State will support the president's ambition or not. It was gathered that the meeting, which was held at Dover Hotel Lekki on Tuesday night, was convened at the instance of President Goodluck Jonathan, who was represented by the Secretary to the Federal Government of Nigeria, Senator Ayinpai Osayim. Though expected to begin by 6 p.m., the meeting was 2 hours behind schedule owing to the late arrival of the Ayim-led delegation. This necessitated the parley lasting till the wee hours of Wednesday. The Secretary to the government and his group had come to Lagos from Onitsha en route Enugu after receiving Obi, who dumped the All Progressives Grand Alliance for the ruling People's Democratic Party. Those who accompanied Ayim to the meeting included Deputy Senate President Ike Ekweremadu, the Deputy Speaker, House of Representatives Emeka Ihedioha, Senator Hope Uzodinma, Minister of Labour and Productivity Emeka Nwogu, National Publicity Secretary of the PDP Wole Sametu, businessman and Labour Party governorship candidate in 2013 Anambra governorship election Ifeanyi Uba, and Peter Obi, the Igbo leaders with whom they had the meeting were the President General of Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Chief Gary Ewo Igarewe, President of Ndigbo Lagos, Professor Anya Oanya, President of Aki Kenga, Chief Godi Uwazike, former Chairman of Diamond Bank, Pascal Dozier, former Military Administrator of Lagos State, Admiral NWC Kanu, retired, former President, Nigerian Stock Exchange, Dr. Raymond Obieri, Ezendibo of Ikeja, Ezeuche Dimba, and President of Ohanaeze Lagos, Fabian Omugalo. According to New Telegraph reports, trouble started at the meeting when Ayim advised Ndibo to forget what happened after 2011 elections and face the future by supporting Jonathan's second term bid. This plea reportedly angered most of the Igbo leaders at the parley, who questioned why the Southeast should support the president again when he is yet to fulfill most of his 2011 campaign promises to the zone. New Telegraph quoted a source who attended the meeting thoughts. Majority of the Igbo leaders urged that it was unreasonable for Ndibo to work for the president again, going by what is going round. Adding that there was heated argument on the call for support for Jonathan in 2015. The issue of second Niger Bridge was raised, but there was doubt over the authenticity of the project because it is under the public-private partnership PPP arrangement and would be tolled on completion for about 25 years, while a similar project in Benue State is being funded by the federal government and would not be tolled. Even the sixth state-approved fundable at the just-concluded national conference is not likely to be realized because it was disclosed at the meeting that a boundary adjustment committee set up by the government on the issue failed to reach an agreement with the Southeast governors on where the new state should be carved out from. The so-called International Airport Enugu, which the Jonathan campaigners are mounting as part of his achievement, was approved by late President Umaru Yar'Adua and not Jonathan. Some of the Igbo leaders were furious, wearing why Ifeanyi Ubah and his group, Transformation Ambassadors of Nigeria, are going around directing the Igbo to vote for Jonathan in 2015 when we have not taken a stand on the issue. Based on this, there is the fear that some of us may look elsewhere, the source said. Continuing, the Igbo bigwig squared that while support for the president is still open pending the report of the Obi-led committee, Igbo are not taking anything for granted. According to him, plans are underway for a meeting with the Lagos State former governor and a national leader of All Progressives Congress, as to Aju Bola Tinubu and former head of state and APC presidential aspirant, Major General Muhammad Buhari. Hear him. Igbo in Lagos are considering changing camp, and we will soon meet with Tinubu and Buhari on the way forward because we have lost it in the PDP. What transpired on Tuesday night showed that Igbo have nobody in the present government. Our representatives are there for their own interests and not for the collective interests of our people.
We shall kill. We are very angry. We will finish. We will descend upon this too. They will not have a calamity that shall explain. We are coming. We are coming in few months. Ndiala. My people.
Ole me muna wanne mjera. Adire go ifa dunare.
And we are now going to Lagos. We are now joined by our brother Imamah Abuchi, who is in Biafra land, but presently in the heart of the zoo, precisely in Lagos, to get his perspective on the news analysis and the news summary. Am I hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you, Uche. Thank you very much, my brother. I welcome you, fellow Biafrans, again. I thank you for giving me the privilege to speak about the issues that concern us this morning. I thank you very much. I want to start with the news read about the pastor at a synagogue church appearing in court on Monday. I want to say that it's nothing new. We have had it before. We have had seen such things happening several times over in the past. The important thing is not that a high-profile Nigerian is appearing before a tribunal. The important thing is after he has appeared, what do you do with the findings? right from the 1960s, from the time of the independence of this country. We have had tribunals, we have had inquiries, up till today, none of them has been implemented. What we found out, what we have come to discover, is that each time this is done, it is only a time buying stunt used to make sure that emotions die down. People who are angry are no more as angry as they used to be. Then the thing will be swept under the carpet. That he is appearing does not mean anything to us. What is going to happen with the findings? What is Lagos State going to do with the findings? What will they do with the findings? Those are important things. That is the important thing. That is the important question to be answered. What will they do with the findings? We have had, even the latest was the Edzu River, where we woke up one morning and saw our brothers dumped, our brothers' corpse dumped in a river, Edzu River. The governor of Anambra State, then Peter Obi, said he was conducting an inquiry. Autopsy report. He has done the autopsy even while he was in government for months. The autopsy report was given to him. He has refused to release it. He refused to release it until he left office. And that is the person that they are telling us is going to the federal government to run for presidency for Biafra. That is the individual who could not do one simple thing to let us know what happened to our brothers. He sees the autopsy report up till today, and they are saying he's the best man for the job. And I'm saying that he is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. He has been deceiving Igbo people, those who have worked with him, those who are working with him, and he will continue to deceive. That is by the way. We come to the issue of Boko Haram troops getting upper hand. Well, we have got to the level, we have got to the time, we have got to the point where we do not know which one is the truth any longer. Today they tell us this, tomorrow another thing will happen. Today they will tell us this, tomorrow another thing will happen. So one is not even sure which one is the truth. But even if at that, it is true that Nigerian troops are getting upper hand, is that a reason to rejoice? Is that a reason to rejoice? Even after Boko Haram has been crushed, will that be a reason to rejoice? That you went to battle, you went to war and killed your brothers because they said this is what we want. You went to war and killed them. You did not ask them, how do we solve this problem? How do we get around you're getting what you want? Or how do we find the middle of the road? We have sent troops, use our money, our resources to buy arms. We have sent our brothers to go and fight our brothers, and we have killed one another. Or rather, I would say we have sent human beings to go and fight human beings for a problem or problem that can easily be solved, and we'll be rejoicing. Meanwhile, it's our resources that has been wasted, the resources that will be used to do a lot of things for the people. We have used it to fight war. And when we win, we will be rejoicing. And with what war are we fighting? War with somebody who is supposed to be a citizen of our country. War because we refuse to say, well, that thing you want, we don't want it. Go your own way and let us go our own way. Go and do your thing and let us go and do our own thing. We continue to force people. We continue to force one another. We continue to kill one another. I say it's not yet Uhuru. You can kill every member of the Boko Haram. This is not even the first time. It has happened before. It has happened in the past. We have had Maitasine riot. We have had several in the past. After crushing them, what happens? People will still come back again. because there's a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship, a lot of things are not right, and people have definitely must agitate. People definitely must demand for the right things to be done. So, gaining upper hand against Boko Haram, good, well and good. But that is not the solution. That it is not yet Uhuru. I thank you on that.
Thank you very much, Emma. That was our brother Emma Madabiti from Lagos. We will be going back to him at some point, of course, to get his perspective on the issues we have been discussing here. And for now, we'll be right back in a minute.
Fighting for survival. Oh gosh, can't you hear my cry? The boys on the eight, they have their freedom. The fishes in the rivers, they have their freedom. All nations in the world, they have gained their freedom. Why can't we afraid? Gain your freedom, Lord.
Gain for freedom. Freedom is what we need now. Freedom. Freedom is what we want now. Gain for freedom. Freedom is what we need now. Freedom. Freedom is what we want now.
Calling the United Nations to set my people free. Calling the League of the Nations to save Biafra free. Calling Africa Union to talk about my freedom. Calling Africa and Saudi to set my people free. Genocide I've been committed against my people. Senseless killing still going across the nation. Oh God, hear my plead. Set us free. We wanna be free now.
Freedom, freedom is what we need.
Indeed, it is our freedom that we want now, and that is why indigenous people of Biafra, wherever you are, should devote assiduously, completely towards the quest for the restoration of Biafra. There is no going back. You must do something on your own and collectively as a people, as individuals, towards making sure that we contribute our quota towards the restoration of Biafra.
The world. Because justice has been aborted and miscarried. People are afraid of speaking the truth. I see the teachers in the school, they refuse to teach us the truth. I see the preachers in the churches, they refuse to tell us the truth. Why can't you tell us the truth about Biafra freedom? Why?
The Biafra case is very, very pathetic in the sense that the Nigerian government, the Nigerian establishment, being presided over by the Northern House of Fulani oligarchy, made everything humanly possible to wipe out Biafra history, to wipe out our culture. They renamed the Bight of Biafra to Bight of Boni, all in a bid to remove everything Biafra from history books. And here we must make a difference.
Freedom is what we want now. Biafra freedom. Freedom is what we need now.
Oh God.
Freedom. Freedom is what we want. We want freedom.
It is our collective duty as Biafrans, as the remnants of indigenous people of Biafra, to restore our land, to restore our heritage, and nobody can do it for us. It is us. It is us, and no other person can do it. We must do the work. We must walk the walk. We must talk the talk, and we must do every other thing. We must make personal and collective sacrifices towards making sure that Biafra Restoration Project is a reality. Already it is pathetic that the Nigerian government has bought a number of us, a number of people of indigenous people, of a number of members of the wider indigenous people of Biafra family, to sabotage the effort of others. And you find out this time around that there are enemies outside and there are enemies from within as well. And so we must make sure that we remain resolute.
I'm coming to against my people, and still we are struggling, fighting for survival. Oh gosh, can't you hear my cry? The boys on the edge, they have their freedom. The fishes in the rivers, they have their freedom. All nations in the world, they have their...
And we will now go back to Lagos to get some perspective from our brother Imam Made Abuchi. Imam, are you there?
Yes, Uche. The other issue is about Okorocha lamenting that Ndibo do not support their own to becoming president. President of what? Who is the Igbo man that is going to be president of Nigeria? One. Nigeria will never allow you to govern them. They will never allow you to rule over them. That is one. Unless the person that is coming, of course, will be a highly compromised stooge, which I think Okorocha will be. But one of the basic issues is that Igbos don't trust those gallivanting around as Igbo leaders, as Igbo representatives, because they have not done anything for them. So why should an Igbo man stand up? Why should a Biafran stand up and say that he's supporting this to be president? President for who? President to continue where the Hausa Fulani stopped. Continuing another guys as their agents in our midst. If we must support somebody for presidency, how can he be Okorocha? How can he be Peter Obi? So that Okorocha will come to Igbo land and install Islam the way he wants. So that you have the free reign to subdue everybody and subjugate everybody and bring his Islam. Okorocha is missing the point. It is not everyone that answers Igbo name that is an Igbo person. It's not everyone that claims to be Igbo leader that is Igbo leader. We know our leaders. When they appear, we know we will follow them. Okorocha, you are wrong on that. If you think you are running for presidency of Nigeria, go and run. Don't run because you are Igbo. Because we know you don't represent our interests. You never did and you will never do. We know you set up schools, never set anyone up in Igbo land. It is up north. So go and run. Change your name and run as Nigeria's president. Fine. Don't say you are running as somebody from Igbo extraction. Uche, I'll rest my case here on the issue of Okorocha, and I'll come back later.
Thank you very much, Emma, once more. Of course, for me, and I'm sure it is for all hardcore Biafrans, that it is too late for any Igbo presidency. It is too late. What we are talking about now is Biafra and Biafra and Biafra. and nothing more. Any other thing talking about politics in Nigeria is a distraction. And so at the moment, APC cannot be allowed to have its foothold in Igbo land and indeed in the wider Biafra enclave. There is no going back on this, because these men, especially Okorocha, has a very notorious track record of betraying the collective interests of our people. And this time around, he is being used as a conduit to bring in APC, which is of course the political arm of Boko Haram. There is no going back on this, and we have no apology to render. We'll be right back.
This is a clear call to all indigenous people of Biafra in Chukwu Abiyama with the band.
Yes, sir, this is still Radio Biafra live broadcast, and we are reaching for another. My name is Uche Mafo. I have been speaking with our brother and correspondent, Imam Madi Abuchi from Biafra Land, and who is presently in Lagos at the moment. We will be going back to him for him to give us the remaining part of what he has for us, and of course, proceeding to giving us his closing remarks.
On this other issue of the support of for Jonathan, isn't it funny? They usually think that 4 years is 1 million years. It never comes around. Jonathan did the same thing. He went to Igbos in Lagos. He organized them, or will I say he cajoled them. They gave him his support. They cajoled them. He oiled the wheels of their cars and perhaps put fuel for their vehicles, and they supported him. Igbo land ended up giving him the highest number of percentage of votes any other geopolitical zone could give. What did we get from Jonathan? Lies and deceit. He said he gave us an international airport. It is not an international airport. Lies and deceit. He said if he did not build Second Niger Bridge before 2015, that he would go into exile. He's still around. He has suddenly remembered that there are some people called Igbo people that he deceived by saying that his name is Azikiwe. Jonathan went to Igbos in Lagos. He wanted to cajole them as usual. He sent somebody who's supposed to be an Igbo person too, Pius Anyim. He didn't tell him, Oga, what you are sending me, the one you promised before, you didn't fulfill it. And he kept them waiting for 2 hours. 2 solid hours. And when he came, what did he come to do? To have them organized. To have them organized to know who to speak with. Because they don't have one single central leadership for which you can pick one or two people, grease their palms, and they whip others into line. Igbos, we never had it, one central leadership. So now you call Peter Obi of all people to come and organize them, to come and discuss with them, so that they will give you support for another 4 years. If you did not do anything for us these past 4 years, that you know you are coming back, what makes anybody think that you will even look our way when you enter into office? You were there, they humiliated our sister, one of the best performing ministers in your government. They humiliated her, they sent her away. While they were hounding her, they were hounding the other one, Madueke. But you were able to save that one. You did not save our sister. You humiliated her, sent her away. In Ejirika, you are there, they are hounding him. You have not put your feet down to make a categorical statement that they should leave that man alone. You want another 4 years. 4 years of what? Well, let's see whether those so-called Igbo leaders will muster the balls to tell you what we think about you and your government the past 4 years, 5-6 years even. Let's see what whether they will muster that strength, that courage to say, "Oga, go and rest. This is not supporting APC, not supporting APC. Not even supporting any political party, because we are Biafran people. We want out of the contraption. That doesn't mean I'm supporting anyone. What I'm only saying is, Jonathan, go there and tell them to go their own way. Allow us to go our own way. We have nothing in common. We have been killed enough. We have been humiliated enough. We have been insulted enough. We have been dehumanized enough. Let Nigeria leave us alone to go and nurse our wounds, or to go and build our land. Yes, build our land, that we will, in Jesus' name." Yes, Uche, on the Cold War between Nigeria and the US, United States of America, I will only ask Jonathan and his Nigerian government in my own local dialect. Unuge ebulikwa. Will you be able to stand a standoff with US? With what? All this grandstanding has got to stop. It is time, Jonathan, you do the right thing and allow Biafrans to go. Stop going around looking for arms to fight Boko Haram. If you have those people in Nigeria, you will gain nothing from them. They have gained us nothing since they shared the same boundary with us. They have given us nothing. We have gained nothing from them. They have only killed us, murdered us, dehumanized us, insulted us. So, my dear friend, good luck, Jonathan. Leave these people alone. Leave them alone. Allow them to go and run their Sharia. As a matter of fact, even if you bring them into Nigeria, they have succeeded, because in those areas they are, Christians have run away from them, from those places. Even if normalcy returns, which Christian will go back there? Even if any Christian goes back there with the kind of futility, hostility he or she will face, the person will not be able to stay there. They have virtually succeeded in driving away the church and Christians from there. So Jonathan, leave them alone. Let them run their Sharia. Don't give them opportunity to continue to penetrate into other people's lands. You know, Islam has two postures. Yeah, it has a posture and position of weakness. It has a different posture and position of strength. In position of weakness, Islam will tell you that they are law-abiding, they are good, they are gentle people, they will settle, and they will be growing in number, in numbers, and they will be planting seeds everywhere. By the time they continue to grow and come to a position of strength, they will begin to demand that you hand over the reins of power to them. After they have demanded that, they will demand that you implement Islam. Go and ask Brit, go and ask England. Go to London and ask them. They thought Islam was a friend. Now look what is happening. They said they are going to take over their monarchy. They are going to take over England, even Great Britain, that they are going to take over Britain. That is what Christianity is. You think you are fighting them, they are happy with you. They have succeeded in chasing away Christians from those places you are fighting them. Meanwhile, they are in your own territory, peacefully, pretending to be peaceful and growing, planting their seeds. A time comes when they will begin to grow wings. It is time to cut them off. Take them off, let them go. Allow Biafrans to go back and organize their homes. My brother Ucha, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Emma, for that wonderful analysis. And you have just made the final point. And we thank you very much. The Indigenous People of Biafra are grateful to all you are doing. Again, we're all grateful to you. And may God continue to bless you, bless your family, and indeed all men and women of good way around you. We will be getting back to you from time to time. Thank you very much. This is Radio Biafra Live Broadcast, and we are reaching you from London. My name is Ucheme Fo. We will be closing this program at any particular point in time, anytime from now indeed, after this break.
We the indigenous people of Biafra, we cannot thank you enough for all you've done for us. Anina singe mama, Biafrans in Malaysia, anina singe mama, Biafrans all over Asia, anina singe mama, Biafrans in Europe, asewa mukelegio, makaneto di kenango mere.
And this is where we'll be bringing this program to an end. We thank all indigenous people of Biafra from wherever they are. This has been the AM edition of the Radio Biafra Live Broadcast for the 11th of October 2014. My name is Richard M4, and this program has been co-hosted with Imam Mother Abuchi from Lagos. Of course, he remains one of our reliable correspondents from Biafra land. We thank him, and we thank all men and women of goodwill, all of us of freedom and justice from around the world. We look forward to the evening's edition of the program, the second segment at 7 p.m. Biafra time. Thank you very much, and may God bless you. From me, your sincerely Tame Fo, it is good morning once again from London.
Ekene o, ekene o, ekene o.
tabi otu si wota anyi obodo ebe chukwu nyere anyi ebe onye iri anyi ka ebe onwe biri nụ una nnukwu awụsa n'ime ngine ka anyị nata dozi obodo anyị nụ ịnụtem ndị nụrụ anya ha 1967 to 70 ndị nụrụ agha nwewa onu ha ga mụ na nụnụ egwu fanako mgbe nwanne nụ egwu fanako oke nwanne nụ